Ladies and gentlemen, hello. I am Guy Branum, and this is the 64th most electrifying night in Hollywood. Get ready for the 5th annual Pop-Tart Awards, the Pop Rocket Awards of Merit. This year we are sandwiched in between the Grammys and Oscars because you, the people, deserve at least one award show with an actual host who has reasonably good timing. That was actually bad timing, and I thought Alicia Keys did fine work, but that's what our producer wrote. All right, with me today to determine the greatest achievements in 2018 in TV, film, music, and anything else entertaining are digital strategist Winner Mitchell Rohrbaugh. Winner, who are you wearing?
I'm wearing a star sweatshirt and a bowl of bolognese.
Are you going to hello for us?
Oh, hello.
It's hello.
So nice to see you all tonight, this evening.
We have a very fine spread tonight.
Very fine spread here at the Pop-Tarts.
Journalist and novelist Margaret Wappler. Margaret, who are you wearing?
I'm wearing a tankini made out of old Pepsi crystal cans. And I also have a beautiful leatherette cape, which is very well moisturized with CBD oil.
I mean, that's a Grammys outfit if I ever heard of one.
Yeah.
At least there's no barbed wire.
Christian Siriano made it.
Thank you for stealing my stylist.
We've got pop culture scholar and dyke about town Karen Tongson. Karen, who are you wearing?
An aspirational assortment of middle brow brands, a Lacoste polo in black, buttoned all the way to the top, like every lesbian does it, and a bespeckled shawl-collared sweater from J.Crew.
I am wearing a Tom Ford tuxedo with one thing that has color on it, because that's what gay men do.
And don't forget the holster.
Coming up on this week's show, we've got the Pop-Tart Awards. Later in the show, we have a very special message from a celebrity, a real live actual celebrity. But first, in honor of our fallen comrade, we have the Oliver Wong Memorial Pop-Tart for best name on our Apple iTunes reviews. Winner Mitchell, we've had a lot of great contenders this year coming in, giving us beautiful five-star reviews that keep Margaret healthy and alive, full of iron
feeling
and calcium.
So strong.
People, some who gave us 3 or 4 star reviews, and they are people too. And I was just wondering,
they are unspeakable.
Did any of those names really call out to you?
They were so great, I forgot them. I will say though, I want to just give a shout out to Hola Bachachos. I do remember that one.
Yes,
and that was tremendous performance there.
Hola Bachachos really is about the artistry, and
yeah.
I think is sort of like a crowd pleaser.
Sure,
in a way that some of these others are, you know, were deeply pandering. I was a big fan of Pre-Order Guy's book already. I was a big fan of, why can't I do a Pop-Tart for Lauren?
It's 2019.
Oh, yes, but still, it's in consideration for this year's.
No, it's for the next year, right?
Okay, right now, let's leave this in. Right now, I am arguing with our producer, Laura Swisher, about whether a Pop-Tart for Lauren is eligible. And I'm saying she released it in the art houses late in December and then went national
with
it.
But is it on the ballot?
It's on the ballot.
Right.
I'm going
to...
No. Yes. That's when it went national. It was before the Pop-Tarts.
I'm with Swish
on
this.
We're going to get
an
eventual vote. Yeah. But Swisher, I have just one more question for you. Who invented the Pop-Tarts? Was it you, Laura Swisher?
I just want everyone to know that Guy has a power pose going on right now where he's holding a glass of booze and about to maybe even throw it. I don't know.
The thing is, I was going to say, I loved Flawed Female Character. That was a great name, and I thought it really spoke to us. But I loved that a Pop-Tart for Lauren came out in Pop-Tart season. She understood, Hollywood's a buzz with the Pop-Tarts right now. I'm going to get in there. This is her.
Just give it to her next year.
It's her, the wife. But will we remember her next year? All right, that's me. That's my opinion. Margaret, what about you?
Of course, I have some stakes in the micro genre of Margaret's health category names.
Yeah.
my favorite. Well, let me just read off the ones that I saw. Margaret needs her iron. True. Yes. And it's well. It's doing well. Thank you. Margaret's Calcium Swayze, which I don't exactly know what that means, but I'm into it. And then Margaret, please try crystals, which is definitely the most on brand for me, and I'm on it. And thank you.
I was concerned at first that I didn't see the S, so I thought it was Margaret, please try crystal.
Yeah.
And I said, that's very art house.
Yeah. That's a different vibe.
The budget was very low on that.
Yeah, different vibe. Right. But I also had a soft spot for Alanis Vinaigrette.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
That's very good.
Yeah. Very good.
Solid work.
That came kind of early, I feel, in 2018. And that vinaigrette lasted a long time.
Well, I did my homework, guys. I went back and looked at all the names.
It's really the Black Panther of the Oliver Wong Memorial
Best
Name Award.
It really is, yeah.
Thompson, you got one?
I object to pandering names.
Okay.
Even though we appreciate whatever name you choose to review us under. I mean, come on, Karen Tongson for president. Isn't that obvious? but I like one that stuck with me and that made me giggle snort, like the one when it came across our pages one night, is Mariah okay? I just felt like, I mean, I know that that's kind of an old joke and it's super out of time, but it just came from out of nowhere and it gave us a tittering delight. So is Mariah okay? You've won my vote for this year. Oliver Wong Memorial Pop-Tart.
I often think that people that have those kinds of names have probably been reviewing things on Apple since it started.
I mean,
since Vision of Love.
I think it's very funny. I gotta say, probably of the things that have been tossed around here, Margaret, please try crystals. Really speaks to me. Winter, are we moving towards a consensus at all? Is there anything else here that you could really get behind?
I'm getting behind Margaret, please try crystals, because Mariah Carey has suddenly become okay. So
she's a survivor.
It's irrelevant now.
I think we've achieved what we wanted to achieve with that.
Congratulations, Margaret. Please try crystals. You are the best supporting actress of these award shows. You're the first award. You can go along with your acceptance speech. Oh, please call into our number, Margaret. Please try crystals and give us your acceptance speech.
Yes.
We will start playing you off after 45 seconds. all right.
Your mom will jump on the line and say, get off of here.
I don't like people playing on my phone.
You're listening to Pop Rocket. We'll be right back to talk about the Pop-Tart Awards after this.
Hi, I am Lori Kilmartin.
And I'm Jackie Cation.
Together, we host a podcast called
The Jackie and Lori Show.
We're both stand-up comics. We recently met each other because women weren't allowed to work together on the road or in gigs for a long, long time. And so our friendship has been unfolding on this podcast for a couple of years. Jackie constantly works the road. I write for Conan, and then I work the road in between.
We do a lot of stand-up comedy, and so we celebrate stand-up, and
yes,
we also bitch about it.
We keep it to an hour. We don't have any guests. We somehow find enough to talk about every single week. So find us. You can subscribe to The Jackie and Lori Show at Maximum Fun. .org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, bye.
Welcome back to Pop Rocket. I'm your host, Guy Branum. With me in the studio are
Winter Mitchell-Rohrbaugh,
Margaret Wappler,
and Karen Tongson.
And ever since the beginning of, well, since our first year of Pop Rocket, we have had this award show where we talk about the best stuff that was made from the entire year. And one of the things that we have always done is we have had individual tarts demerit. These are tarts that we are individually empowered to give out to the thing that we love most from the last year in popular culture. No one can tell you that you're wrong. We hand these out independently. So I turn to you, Karen Tongson, and say, who is getting your tart of merit this year? Or what?
I have been really upset with every award show that hasn't given this person an award this year. And so I thought, in my limited capacity as a Pop-Tarter, that I would give her an award she truly deserves. Carrie Russell, Best Actress, for her work in The Americans. I'm still mad about her not winning the Emmy over Claire Foy. In fact, she and Sandra Oh both lost to Claire this year, and I thought that, you know, that was a tremendous injustice, as much as I love The Crown. But
and that was kind of a bullshit move, because The Crown, and only having 2 years of Claire Foy, was like, you have to give it to Claire Foy now. We're like, Carrie Russell, she's been doing that for how many years?
Like, she did, like, you know, whatever, like 6-7 seasons of just, like, all those disguises, having to have sex with grody men, killing hundreds of people, and on top of that, having to work with her husband every day. So, I mean, no, look, her final season on The Americans was glorious. Even just, like, she should have won that Emmy for that first episode of this season alone, where you get this extended montage and you see the drudgery of her spy work and how it's wearing away at her very soul, and she's chain smoking. Carrie Russell, you deserve every award. You receive my tart of merit, and I hope you call us and thank us for this great honor.
Karen, this is a pop culture podcast, not a dating app, as you and Sarah Gopali.
Hall pass. Hashtag hall pass.
Margaret, to whom or what are you awarding your tart of merit?
I was torn between two choices, and in some ways they couldn't be more different, and I'll just tell you the two choices. One is Won't You Be My Neighbor, the Mr. Rogers documentary, which I think was probably the most, like, moving, poignant movie experience I had, like, seeing it in the theater, where everybody in the theater, which was just collectively enthralled with the movie, and it had such a heartfelt message, and it was a really amazing picture. And the other one that I'm thinking about that I think just barely notches above it for me on just a really personal level was Tully. I keep talking about this movie. I think I just talked about it like 2 weeks ago. But
it's your Halt and Catch Fire.
Exactly. This is my Americans. This is my Halt and Catch Fire. I can't let it go. Tully was just so important to me in a year where I spent that year basically doing a lot of the same things that Tully was depicting, which was, you know, breastfeeding and not getting enough sleep and having my whole life rewired and rearranged and wondering what happened to my old self and all these kinds of things. And it's Charlize Theron plays the mother in it, and she is just so ravaged by what's going on, but yet still a good mom, still hanging in there. She develops this relationship with Mackenzie Davis, and from there it takes a lot of interesting turns, and I just really encourage everyone to go see it. It's Diablo Cody and Jason Reitman again together, and it's just great. I love it.
That's beautiful. I asked my mom a week ago if she knew what a night nurse was, and she said, I'm watching Tully right now. It was exciting. Winner Mitchell, to whom or what are you presenting your tart of merit?
I'm giving, this is going to be the sleeper, and it's fine because you'll know their names by this time next year. I'm giving my tart de merit to Desus and Mero. Desus and Mero are a couple of guys from the Bronx who had this show on Vice, and they're pretty much the reason that Vice is now just nothing. I mean, they were the most popular show on the network. They got the most viewers, and the show ultimately left to go to Showtime, and it debuts in a couple of weeks on Showtime with AOC as the opening guest. And I, you know, the reason I love these guys is because if you're consumed like I am with watching the news cycle, and as it expands and devolves, you just want somebody to think a little bit like you and say the things that you want to hear or that you would say to friends. And these guys were able to, like, knock it out of the park. Their commentary is hilarious, and it totally fits into, like, that Twitter speak, but it's perfect for television because they have great camaraderie and chemistry. And they also had really great guests who got them to be loose and fun in a way that most talk shows can't. It's always like, I don't want to say the word is not predatory, but the word is definitely, like, it's always publicity geared. And I'm tired of watching Jimmy Fallon dance around, and I could care less about Colbert spending the first 20 top half of his show pontificating on whatever mess happened that day. I just want them to go straight to the facts and make fun of it and then do a really cool interview and then wrap it up. And this is what these guys do.
This year for my Tart of Merit, we all know that there is no believer like a convert. Like, no one was a more zealous Pharisee than Saul until he was on that road to Damascus, was struck blind, and, you know, became a believer in Christ, and then was the most emphatic believer in Christ. And I, about a month ago on Twitter, said, "What the fuck is Glenn Close pulling here?" Because The Wife is barely a movie. The Wife is just almost not a movie. And Glenn Close is good in it with what she has to do. I am not giving my Tart of Merit to her performance in The Wife or The Wife. I am giving my Tart of Merit to Glenn Close's award show season. Because the minute she won at the Golden Globes, like, her at the Golden Globes is the most perfect performance I've ever seen. It's a better 4 minutes than the 4 minutes she's going, like, hog wild and not that hog wild in The Wife. Like, giving you that perfect moment of, I can't believe this happened. Then getting up with, like, the certainty, like the Marquise de Martu from Dangerous Liaisons, like, as she stalked towards that, like, the podium, could have been other performers who you were like, do they know what they're doing? Like, you know, was it Jeff Bridges who got a Lifetime Achievement Award and rambled on forever at the Golden Globes? But the thing is, it's Glenn Close. You knew that she knew what she was doing. And then she got up there and she gave just a heart-wrenching speech.
You know, to play a character is so internal. And I'm thinking of my mom, who really sublimated herself to my father her whole life. And in her 80s, she said to me, I feel I haven't accomplished anything. And it was so not right.
You always knew that she had complete control of what was going on. And since then, just sort of seeing her pop up on Colbert and, you know, in a fun pantsuit, ready to laugh exactly as much as she can, but also sort of prod you and poke you and remind you she's been doing the best possible work since she got her first. Louis is the best when it comes to Oscar season. This is Louis Vertel. But, like, the fact that she didn't get a movie job until she was 34 or 35 and got nominated for it, and then got nominated for her first two or three roles. The fact that she's never been nominated without going up against Meryl Streep and just sort of realizing, like, this could be the one. I want Olivia Colman to win Best Actress. I am so thrilled for everything that Glenn Close has done. And it makes me just wish that I keep in good enough health that I can watch Annette Bening do some form of this 4 nominations from now.
Mm-hmm.
So my Tart of Merit goes to Glenn Close's award show campaign. Beautiful work, entire team. All right, you guys, now it's time for the actual competitive consensus-based awards, all right? Sharpen your claws because it is time for the award for Best TV Show. Margaret Wappler, what do you think is the best TV show of 2018, the year of our Lord?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I missed some of the critical darlings this year because I didn't have it in me to sit down for certain things that were, like, really violent or dark. Like, we started to watch Sharp Objects, and that show should have been my jam, but I just didn't want to go that dark this year. It just wasn't where my heart was. And the show that I did end up gravitating towards definitely has darkness to it, but there was a certain kind of light and humor. I know I'm going to make the case for this, but a certain kind of humor to it that really drew me in. And what I'm talking about is Dirty John. And this is based on the LA Times podcast and article that came out about a woman in Orange County, Deborah Newell, who got pulled in by this kind of Romeo con artist named Dirty John. And what makes the show really work for me is Connie Britton's performance, 100%, which is where the humor comes into me. Because all of us kind of have had our moments of being duped by people, by being taken in, being conned, whatever. And there's a real like troubling thread to what the story is, because he's abusive and he's manipulative and he did terrible things. But there is something about her naivete, the character, that she plays so wonderfully, where you have sympathy for her, but you're also just a little bit like, push, push, wake up. What are you doing? Can't you see the writing on the wall? And that's a really hard thing to play. And Connie Britton does it with just such believability and just enough of a wink, wink, sly humor that I just loved it. I ate it up. And every episode to me just felt like a treat. It just felt like it went down easy. There was like enough sort of griminess and darkness to it to pull me in, but it was still like I'm not disturbed for the whole night after I turned it off.
I find it much more sinister than maybe you do.
Right? Yeah.
It's harder for me to find some of the light elements in it because it's really frustrating. But I do think that there is something about that taking that Lifetime production value up to the Bravo notch.
Yes. They just aim for their potential on everyone.
They met their potential.
Yes.
It sounds very like FX kind of, you know, feud American Crime Story kind of territory to me.
It is. And it's, well, I think the thing about
Ryan
this.
Ryan Murphy is the word I was looking for.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about this story is that normally this would be on Lifetime and it would be played with absolute like melodrama, you know, where there'd be like no way we could ever have just a little giggle at somebody like Connie Britton's character. And this gives us space to like both feel sorry for her and feel angry at what's happening to her, but then to also just have. I mean, there's just some ridiculous moments of him being just this con man on this operative level, like this operatic level is what I mean. And it's just, I got pulled in by that element that like we, in a way, it's like a mark of progress that we can see a story that's basically about domestic abuse and there could be other shades to it besides just, oh my God, isn't this a terrible thing to happen to a woman?
Yeah.
We know that. Of course it's terrible.
Winter, what's a tart-worthy show to you?
90 Day Fiancé. 90 Day Fiancé is one of those shows I promised myself.
A friend of mine was just telling me how amazing it is.
It's the most amazing show on television. The reason why is because it is, these people aren't playing, these people have watched reality TV and think they know the strategy, all while trying to attempt to have a relationship with someone who can't technically be in the country unless they say so. All while not having, look, these people are not wealthy. They're not even barely middle class for their where they live. So there's also the struggle of that. Like, you know, a lot of the foreign women that come over are expecting Kardashian lifestyles.
Yeah.
And they're literally getting like Dollar Tree living arrangements, and it's like all the while trying to convince not only the viewer but themselves they're doing it for love. And we are now at a point in the world and just in out it just, you know, how television operates, how the world operates, what we know a lot more about, you know, relationships just by looking at the way people behave and act, whether it's Hollywood or real life, and it's documented on social media and otherwise. It's like watching a car crash, but it's literally the cars are coming toward each other at like a 1 mile per hour. You know, they're not pulling away. They're not going to stop. No one's going to play chicken and flinch. They're going to just keep going at each other until it's a complete catastrophe. And this particular season, I think the show really did start becoming a little bit more culty in the sense that more people were starting to watch that never would normally watch these shows, because these batch that they had this time around were just 100%, they were all complete lunatics. And I really think the show was interesting to watch.
Is
because
it streaming?
It might be streaming. It's on TLC. I really, obviously, I got married. Did anybody hear about that? And I, you know, outwardly to people, it felt like it was a shock and it was a surprise, but it would, like, it made a lot of sense to the both of us because we're best friends. But thinking about the I said to myself, if we let's just pretend that I just met Alan out of the blue and decided I was going to marry him. And then I was like, this is exactly what would have happened. Like, it just would have been a complete disaster and a catastrophe. So I just enjoy the show a lot, not because I feel like I'm making fun of them or I'm not sympathetic or empathetic to like what they're all going through. It's because these people's what they think they're getting when they sign up for this is so far than what is being handed to them.
Yeah.
Just from even from the reunion show, when you go to reunion, when you think of reunion show, you're thinking Real Housewives, you're thinking the gowns, the makeup, the fights, the really ostentatious like setup. These people, I think they got dominoes and some like wings and nuggets. I think they were not paid for a hotel. I think they had to pay for their own hotels. I mean, these people are really given like bottom basement. They are all doing GoFundMes. Half of them are not married anymore.
Yeah.
There's just, you know, just watching this dynamic is just rough.
Yeah. Karen, what's a chart-worthy show to you?
For me, hands down, the winner of the best new show of 2018 is Killing Eve. Obviously with Sandra Oh and the amazing Jodie Comer, who did not get enough love for playing Villanelle / Oksana, the assassin who captivates our title character's Eve Pilastri.
Like, it was a great show. It didn't feel like it had the shape of television shows we've seen before. There was so much about it that was just like, what is this show? This, you know, Sandra Oh with her Canadian accent working for British intelligence. You were like, what's going on? The fact that it wasn't just like a simple morality tale of bad guy, good guy, that there was something really complex, and, you know, her fight to understand Villanelle was even more compelling than the fight to catch Villanelle. And that last episode, just sort of trying to understand what was going on, was just so fascinating. It was really captivating, and also one of those things of somebody like Sandra Oh, who's spent too much time being the principal in the Princess Diaries. Or, look, she did very good work on Arliss.
Great work on Arliss. Hey, Christina Yang is an indelible character.
But the thing is she's either been to the side of somebody else or just not being given enough to do. And the fact that she was given a role where she was getting to be the heart of it and do so much weird, interesting work, I was a big fan of Killing Eve.
She gets to do all of this funny stuff that happens in British, like basically British crime shows, where she trots around doing weird things, hiding behind lampposts in trench coats and, you know, drinking gin at 11 a.m. And tromping through the British countryside. But she also gets to do it as this kind of hard-edged character trotting around Europe. One of the things that threw me about the show was that it had a very like UK 90s like romp aspect to it that was very much related to the soundtrack and the music. I complained about this when we talked about the show on Pop Rocket before, but it gave it that little extra bounce, and it that non-Americanness to it, I think, made it a more fascinating show. Look, I was torn between whether or not, is this homophobic? Is it not homophobic? Like, you know, do we have another psychotic bisexual lesbian killer here? And does she just repel the character who she's in this kind of death dance with? But frankly, it just won me over in the end.
All right. Winter and Margaret, I am very much behind Killing Eve. Do you think we can give it to Killing Eve, or do you think there's something else here that we should really consider?
This is one of the shows that I know is a critical darling that I should sit down and make myself watch.
You still haven't watched Killing Eve?
I know, but
you
there's
have
something,
fun with it.
You
it's
think
also,
so?
It has that same light, dark edge that Dirty John has.
Okay. I actually will give it to Killing Eve because I like Sandra Oh so much, and I have complete faith that this is a good showcase for her.
Congratulations, Killing Eve. You have just received the Pop-Tart for Best TV Show. Let's go to the Tart for Best Performance. You guys, I want to come out hard for Rachel Weisz. She is not getting the award show love that she should be getting this year, because she's already got an Academy Award for a movie none of us really care about, The Constant Gardener. But I think in The Favorite, which was an amazing film, she carries that movie by like as much as Olivia Colman has to create a unique and interesting character. Her Duchess of Marlborough is like a thing we haven't seen before. a soft foot baller who's going face to face with the most important men in the country and taking them down. And I was electrified by it. What about you, Karen? Who do you think should be taking home performance of the year?
The best performance this year was on television, and it came from Darcy Carden in a special episode of The Good Place, where it's called Janet's, plural, and as Janet, she had to play all the other main characters because they were trapped in some sort of vortex, and Darcy Carden's facility was just inhabiting the physicality, the voices, everything about Chidi and Eleanor and Jason was just spot on, amazing. It was a tour de force, and I can't believe the Emmy slept on her this year. I think that she's going to be a big star, and this is just the very start of it.
Winner, who do you think should be taking home best performance?
I really enjoyed Donald Glover as Teddy Perkins in season 2 of Atlanta, that capsule episode where he is pretending to be like this reclusive Motown-esque mogul, sort of like Michael Jackson. I watched that episode like 7 times after it aired.
Yeah. Margaret, what about you?
Well, like you, The Favorite is really pulling me in performance-wise. And I think just by a hair, I would pick Olivia Colman's performance because it captures these shades and depths to depression that I just haven't seen before while still being a wildly clever, funny, raunchy movie. So that gets my win.
I have to say, I love all of the performances in The Favorite so much, but like the sheer amount of work that Darcy Carden was doing, it was so cool that they wrote an episode that was essentially like, go be a virtuoso. Like, how does she
show us your improv chops.
Right. Winner, like, how do you feel that those two, that performance compares with Donald Glover's performance?
I've never seen The Good Place.
Okay.
Olivia Colman, I've already said, is amazing, and she's probably going to win this category, so I think she's fantastic.
Do we have a consensus then, Olivia Colman?
I mean, I'm behind it.
I could get behind it. I could get behind it if only I hadn't already given my Tart of Merit away. But, you know, there are only so many Tarts of Merit I can give away to wonderful, talented brunette women.
That's right? Fair. That's fair. All right, you guys, let's bounce to one of the categories that was suggested by you guys, the listeners. Liz Peterson suggested that we give a warm blanket award for the best comfort or warm and fuzzy pop culture of the year. Margaret, what do you think should take this award?
Well, you guys will be so happy, Guy and Karen, that I finally caught up on The Great British Baking Show.
Thank God.
Yes. Wow. It was a long time coming. I mean, I was a fan of Top Chef. I like cooking shows. I just, that one, it almost felt like such, I mean, there's like 20,000 seasons of it at this point. It's confusing because it's called The Bake Off in England because, and then they had to change the name for American and Canadian audiences because Pillsbury owns the term Bake Off. Like, whatever.
Whoa.
Okay, anyway, I know. Too much. But I really got sucked into this show. It's just like the perfect rainy day entertainment where you can just tuck yourself into the bed, watch several episodes. And the only drawback for me is that I often feel like I need to be sipping ginger ale or something while I'm watching the show because I get nauseated from all of these British confections made of, like, I don't know, calves hair butter and
suet
brittle. And
you don't want beef kidney fat in your dessert. I also think that this year, you know, Great British Baking Show got punched down, but it did have a beautiful second proof with the new hosts and Prue as the new judge.
Her anal bead necklaces.
Like, I do hate her, like, funky jewelry. I miss Mary Berry so much. Look, my nominee was going to be One Day at a Time, which just released
another quality nominee. Yeah.
A new season. And, like, really is just sort of, like, warm family entertainment. But, I mean, anytime you throw Great British Baking Show at me, I mean, I'm going to be sensitive.
I came to Great British Baking Show slightly before Margaret, but not, I mean, only in 2018, and that's why it's my show. Another one that I'd like to throw into the mix, I evangelize on behalf of it all the time, but whenever we're down, Sarah and I just turn on Superstore and just, like, get happy.
I mean, it's a real network ensemble workplace sitcom that isn't about white-collar people.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty great. Winner, what about you? What's your warm blanket?
I'm going to vote for Flora Bama Shore.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
What's that?
It's a show. I've talked about it before. It's a show on MTV where a bunch of kids from the Deep South, like six of them, just spend, I don't know what time of year it is, but
like
they just,
near Mobile or something?
Like, I guess. I don't know. But they just spend the summer or late summer, I don't know, spring break maybe. They don't really talk about it. They really only thing that they do is they just get drunk. They have a few fist fights, but at the end of the day, they're really they're a lot less aggressive than
Jersey Shore.
They're a lot less aggressive than Jersey Shore and more congenial than they were as well.
Well, this is the one where it was just like a guy was like, "My son is hot. I'll make up spec pilots with my own money."
That's what happened, really,
and,
right?
Yeah, seriously. And then he showed it to MTV, and they were like, "Sure. Your son is dumb, hot, and drunk."
Which
like,
one was it?
I think the tall, hot one.
Oh, yeah.
Not the short, hot one.
He was wearing a boat neck shirt that looks like something I wore from The Gap this season, like aggressively. And I watched that episode twice, not because he looked great in it, because I was really trying to understand the motivation to wearing like a boat neck fifth grade. It was really odd.
Love it. So you guys, Great British Baking Show, like what is really speaking to us here?
The Great British Baking Show and may everyone wear a boat neck shirt on it one of the episodes next season.
Winter, have you ever seen Great British Baking Show?
Now we're going to have to force Winter to watch it.
I will never be able to do that.
So
would you rather watch Great British Baking Show or Good Place?
Great British Baking Show.
For you, ouch. Like soothing, like popcorn trash is the best way to have soothing. Like popcorn trash is like...
Nobody understands it, the reason why I like it, but it really makes me feel better about myself to know people are this stupid.
That is a real comfort, actually.
Yeah.
All right. Well, congratulations, Great British Baking Show. You have received the Warm Blanket Pop-Tart for best comfort / warm and fuzzy pop culture. All right, Margaret. You got a nominee for Best Album. It's time to hand out the Pop-Tart for Best Album.
Yes, I do. This album became like the most comfy pair of jeans for me. Like I just threw it on whenever I was cooking or doing some work or whatever I was doing that I didn't need to like pay 100% attention to. And that is No Name's album Room 25. It's just so easy to listen to. It's clever and it has great like warm beats and sort of some jazz inflections in there, and she's so smart. She has all these, there's this line that pops into my head almost every day, which is, "My pussy wrote a thesis on colonialism." I just can't get enough of it.
I'm going to put that in my statement for promotion.
Karen, what do you think deserves to call itself the Pop-Tart Award winner for Album of the Year?
I have a couple of favorite albums from 2018, Chris by Christine and the Queens and Record by Tracy Thorn, which didn't get a ton of attention, but I think is just a wonderful album that grooves through various 80s sounds with that deep, rich voice of hers. But after the Grammys this year, I think the true winner is Brandi Carlile. After her performance of Joke, after she purportedly sang that to Janelle Monáe in a kind of sapphic telegraphic message of, "I know that you've been bullied," this whole thing.
Yeah, there was a lot of sapphic moments on the
Grammys so many. And the thing is, we haven't heard that kind of glorious booming lesbian yop since Katie Lang did that tribute to Roy Orbison when she sang Crying back in like 87 or something like that. And that's when she became a big deal, when she filled the hall with her voice. And I think that's what happened with Brandi Carlile at the Grammys this year, is that, you know, call her alt country, call her Americana, call her folk rock or what have you, but just it's pure songwriting, it's lyricism and intelligence, and it is like a butch throat, really, kind of a Futch throat, perhaps, resounding with just like so much texture and passion in it. And Brandi Carlile, I'm all there for your album, By the Way, I Forgive You.
Winter, do any of these speak to you?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Present us with what you think has the right to claim Pop-Tart Award winner for Album of the Year.
Drake Scorpion. I just like Drake, and I'm going to stand for him until he murders somebody or does something a little bit less than murder, but equally bad.
Until he gets R. Kelly,
yeah.
Maybe?
And I really might be happening. I know. I don't know. Come on, Karen. He's not going to do that. That's just not who he is. I just think that Drake is a very talented producer. You know, rapper, musician, whatever. And I think that this album deserves, at the very least, it really did really well in terms of staying viral and you know, keeping people talking about him.
So we have no consensus or any movement towards saying more than one of us like this thing.
Look, I will get behind Brandi Carlile. I do like her too. So I'm willing to cooperate with that decision if that should come down.
Okay.
But I don't think, have you ever heard Brandi Carlile, Guy?
Wait, no. Guy, what did you say?
I saw some still photos of her. It's an album thing. I figure like no one cares what I actually think. I just said thank you next because it's the only all of an album that I've listened to this year.
And it's a good album.
It's a good album. It's a great album. Look, Ariana's just like dropping amazing records.
Yes.
Like back to back, like Sweetener to Thank You Next.
Yeah. I like Sweetener.
I'm burnt out on her, though. I feel like I need a break from her. Like, she's just so overexposed right now. It's like, just sit out around her.
She's like someone else I know in Congress.
She is, but she's been evolving. And I do like and respect that.
Somebody yesterday posted on Facebook that article about her.
Her self-tanning.
Blackfishing.
Yeah.
Which, basically, the one point I learned from it is that her last name is really pronounced Grandy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But like, that's like people saying, you know, road, like, I don't know, Buena Vista or something in Iowa.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just like.
Or Los Feliz.
Yeah, Los Feliz or something like that. I mean, look, Ariana had an intense year. In 2018, like, I mean, was Manchester was in 2017?
What was it in 2017?
I think
but,
so.
But I mean, like you know, like
breakup,
like you know, and I think that like for a young pop idol, she showed tremendous maturity and makes really good albums, which young pop idols don't do. For the most part, they make great singles, especially of that kind of genre of a pop artist. And so to make two good albums back to back, I mean, you know, I'll
and
always be a total
pop
slut.
She won't shut down her Twitter or Instagram when she fucks up, which I really applaud.
Winter, do you think Brandi Carlile or Thank You Next?
Thank You Next.
All right. Should we go with Thank You Next?
I'm dismissively waving my hand. Take it. Fine.
Okay. Congratulations, Ms. Grandy. You are the recipient of the Pop Tart for Best Album. All right, only two Pop Tarts left, you guys, and these are the big ones. First up, we're going to Best Film. Margaret Wappler, what do you think was the best film of 2018?
The Favorite. I just can't get it out of my mind. It's so singular. Like, there's no other movie like it that I've seen, and all the camera tricks, all the script bombastic moments, all of the like actorly thrashing about and power struggles, yet while still retaining this really like raunchy, crude, but very intelligent sense of humor. I just loved it. And you know what? It pissed off every man I know over about 65 years old, every white man I know. And I feel like then it's doing something right.
That's a good sign. That's a good sign. Winter, what about you?
I really liked Three Identical Strangers.
Ooh.
And it got
that's great. Yes.
Great movie.
Yeah. And it got it was touted. I think it was given a lot of leg room to sort of get out there and make its mark, and for some stupid fucking reason Ampus just didn't give it the love it deserves. I don't understand that, including the Indie Awards. So I'm just going to say that was the best film of the year because I haven't stopped thinking about it since I saw it.
Karen, what about you?
I'm not going to waste too much breath here advocating for this because, like it has been throughout the entire awards season, A Star Is Born is going nowhere, but I loved A Star Is Born. It's lingered with me.
A Star Is Born and died.
I mean, you know, it's lingered with me. I think it was a tremendous achievement. I think it was the best, I will say it here, the best iteration of A Star Is Born. Sorry, Judy fans. I'm a Barbara fan, but I think it's better than that one.
I mean, what about the Gaynor heads out there?
I know, the Gaynor heads, all one of them who's still alive. That's all I'm going to say, and I'm not even going to argue because I know I'm not going to win.
Well, you know who supports your argument? Sean Penn.
Oh, it's true.
That's a very confusing conference.
It's very confusing. I feel like Sean Penn and I will have to go have
you want somebody in your corner when the shit goes down south. You definitely want, not being chased by El Chapo, Sean Penn.
I think I could go for either Three Identical Strangers or The Favorite for very different reasons. Opposite reasons, really. The Favorite took the costume drama and just breathed life into it. It really made it interesting in a way that we hadn't seen before, and it also sort of made it something that was a distinctly feminine space that wasn't feeling the need to go out and have too many guns or sword fights. It really was but it was still dealing with power. Mm-hmm. And Yorgos Lanthimos did weird shit that made every moment seem new. At the same time, Three Identical Strangers is like the perfect documentary. Like, just how relatable and sweet those boys were. And the slow arc of journey of not really understanding what it was about until it's really hitting you. The contemplation of mental illness, the conversation about parenting, and just sort of like this very high concept-y, what would you do if there were two other yous out there? Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, like the tragedy of their restaurant in the 80s.
Oh, man. Like, that killed me.
Still rings with me that for a brief moment they were happy, and when it all started to fall apart, it was just too much for one of them.
Yeah.
So I could go for either of those.
Yeah.
I will tilt over to The Favorite because I also love that film. I mean, I love both of these films.
Yeah.
But I do think, you know, just technically, if I were to parse it out, I mean, Three Identical Strangers is a tremendous documentary. And that story is just, you know, unassailable as a kind of compelling story. But The Favorite, for its craft, that's why I would vote for The Favorite as best film of the year. Yeah.
All right. We have one more listener suggested award. Stephen Webster suggested we give a pop chart for best clapback. Margaret Wappler, who do you think had the best clapback this year?
Well, I didn't mean this to happen, but my answer is going to be the make winner Mitchell annoyed answer. But I got to give it to AOC. I mean, she's really mastered the template. She's really clapping back in a beautiful way.
I see Winter's teeth are bare.
I know. I mean, everyone knows the clapback where she, you know, danced in Congress in retaliation for all those alt-right dudes piling on her for making a joyous dance video when she was younger, whatever. The one I really like is when she took down Peggy Noonan, who's this writer who basically used to be like a speechwriter for Ronald Reagan and
plagiarized 1,000 points of light for George H.W. Bush.
Oh, my. Okay, good to know. So Peggy Noonan said after the State of the Union that it was an off night for AOC, that she looks sullen and teenaged and so forth. And AOC basically said, you know, why would I look warm and spirited during this joke of a State of the Union? Like, we're in trouble. There's nothing to be happy about with this. I'm not here to comfort you, basically.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was really succinct. And there was a lot to unpack in that exchange because there was, like, you know, sexism and ageism and probably a little bit of racism too sprinkled in, that basically Peggy Noonan was like, no, you're supposed to look cute and adorable and bright and happy at all times. Yeah. Smile for me, little girl.
Peggy's like, I've been trying to do it for 70 years. Now you have to.
Right.
On the subject of government, I have long maintained that Chrissy Teigen is the sole remaining functioning branch of the American government. And this year, that has been no less true. My favorite Chrissy Teigen clapback this year was some dude said, said Helena Handbasket, menstruating, childbirth, and sex are natural. Two, that doesn't mean I want to see pics of it and or celebrities like Chrissy Teigen taking a bath or nursing. And Chrissy Teigen's response was, I don't care to see grainy fireworks, Coachella selfies, or infinity pool pics, but I let people be. Calm your tits and scroll on by. And I think that she makes such a great argument for, in this world where people are allowed to become celebrities, celebrities are allowed to become people. And if you really want this access to a celebrity, you're going to have to accept the fact that sometimes it's going to be her kids, like, eating macaroni and cheese or her not looking great. And I just love her commitment to, like, being a whole human being.
For that chiasmatic formulation of yours alone, guy, celebrities are allowed to be people, become celebrities, yes. Celebrities are allowed to be people. I mean, Chrissy Teigen, all of you know that I declared her to be a part of my coven.
Uh-huh.
And I just really appreciate her presence on social media because she is someone who you could say is, you know, married to a famous person and also managed to kind of work her way into a kind of virality and celebrity through her online presence in different ways on all the different platforms. But she's sharp. And I think that that's what people underestimate, like, about Chrissy Teigen when they go after her in these really shallow ways, is that she's so incisive. She's politically, like, super there and tight and knows how to answer back. And she obviously manages her own social media for the, I mean, you know, I find that, you know, like, she's the author of her own presence. And for that reason alone, everything she does, every clapback she gives, I'm totally down with.
Winter, who do you think gave the best clapback this year?
Cardi B, Timitha, Tammy, Tamatra, Lauren, by telling her she will dog walk her.
Oh, yeah.
The thing about Tommy Lauren is that people either don't engage her, either say something like weak sauce. I'm not saying that it's not interesting to respond to her, but it's usually something really diplomatic and like, shame on you for being so, you know, dumb.
It's a Chelsea Clinton response.
Yeah, which, and I love Chelsea, but
me,
you know,
too.
But you know,
I don't.
Interesting. I got banned on Twitter for defending her this week. I stand by it. I love that Cardi, in her infinite wit and wisdom, basically told her, bitch, I will dog walk you. And that sent Tamatra into a place that I've never seen her go before, where it wasn't instantly being defensive. It was trying to meet Cardi at her level, failing, and then patronizing by saying, I'm a big fan. You can't really get, you know, Tamatra into a space like that. And Tomasina really went, like,
I
pulled
mean,
back.
The thing about Tommy Lauren is she doesn't have a spot for herself yet. There's no Bill.
I hope she never gets
there's
there.
There's no Bill Maher giving her regular, like, TV time the way that Ann Coulter has. And I just, trying to watch herself wedge herself into pop culture is always so difficult and sad. And Cardi B, I mean, she won Summer Jam. I mean, I think this is a solid argument. Margaret, like, between Cardi B and Chrissy Teigen, which do you think moves you as
Ooh,
the deciding
that's
vote?
That's a tough one. Wait, what happened to AOC? Excuse me.
I mean, I would say just to add, I feel like such a follower right now.
Yeah.
Because also Cardi B gave, like, that best Trump clap back to Trump,
yeah,
on video, right? I mean, like,
oh, that's
Cardi,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Cardi B is another one of these presences on social media and in on multiple platforms who you can rely on for a tight clapback.
Yeah.
I feel like it's less the specific clapback and more the kind of the art of the clapback,
mm-hmm,
that we're voting for in this category. And I think that all three nominees are pretty worthy, but
yeah,
you know. Yeah. Anyway, I just put that out there.
So, like, what flavor of
what
clapback
flavor,
do I
who
like?
Who gives the
best?
Who gives best clapback? Like, as a genre.
Man, I mean, Cardi B is definitely emerging as a front runner, but at the same time, I think Chrissy Teigen's been doing the work for a lot longer, and her style is probably speaks to me a little bit more, and that she always sounds like she's sort of tossing it off, and there's always a little bit of, like, don't get your panties in a twist kind of attitude to it, and I like that.
It's very domestic, but, like, I mean, it always feels like she's doing it from the couch. As she
yes
says, she's usually doing it from the couch. AOC has been doing it with consistency. Mm-hmm. And also she's been sort of like bringing it into a different kind of discourse.
Yeah.
You know, and I really respect that.
I mean, my heart is with Chrissy.
Okay.
But I also like, if I wanted someone on my team, it would be Cardi B.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want Cardi on my team.
Do we have a consensus? What are we going with?
I'm going with Chrissy.
All right. Chrissy Teigen, congratulations. You were the recipient of the Best Clapback Pop-Tart.
I am not coming to this award ceremony next year.
Okay. I don't know that I am either, frankly, okay? Honestly, not unlike the Democratic Party, we need to learn how to find a consensus here. Because if we're all going to be never Bernie or never Hillary, we're not going to be able to present awards.
Where do I just fit like into the that Jill space? Stein yeah. of awards.
Where do I fit into that space? Who am I?
I have no idea.
I have to say, though, like, you know, the eclecticism of the voices on our panel is yes. great for like a weekly show.
Yes.
But when it comes to like handing out a seal of approval yes. or any kind of award, we're just like, we are literally the Democratic Party at yes. this point. It's like, where's Joe Biden to save us?
See, right. this is why we need a straight white man somewhere yeah. on the panel.
Yeah, exactly. Right. As some of you have complained, we don't have one of those.
We're holding out for a hero till the end of the night, you guys, because after the break, we're going to be, let's hope, presenting the Tarte d'Or for 2018.
Hi, I am Lori Kilmartin.
And I'm Jackie Cation.
Together, we host a podcast called
The Jackie and Lori Show.
We're both stand-up comics. We recently met each other because women weren't allowed to work together on the road or in gigs for a long, long time. And so our friendship has been unfolding on this podcast for a couple of years. Jackie constantly works the road. I write for Conan, and then I work the road in between.
We do a lot of stand-up comedy, and so we celebrate stand-up, and
yes.
we also bitch about it.
We keep it to an hour. We don't have any guests. We somehow find enough to talk about every single week. So find us. You can subscribe to The Jackie and Lori Show at Maximum Fun. .org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, bye.
Welcome back to Pop Rocket. I'm your host, Guy Brandon. With me in the studio are
Winter Mitchell Roba,
Margaret Wappler,
and Karen Tongson.
Every week on Pop Rocket, we ask our panel, what's your current jam? But this week, we're asking a far greater question. We are here to decide on our greatest pop culture thing from the year. It can be a trend, it can be an article, it can be a TV show, it can be a movie, performance, or whatever. We have to collectively say it is the best thing of 2018. And I have to tell you, most of the things that I have considered have already been brought up here. I really liked the idea of finally giving it to one piece of art, and The Favorite really spoke to me. We've already given it Best Film and Best Actress. I don't know if we're giving it a trifecta. If there was something else that was speaking to me, it was A Star Is Born, because it really was something that sort of like hit across like multiple different sort of like media. It was the Alley billboard. It was the movie. It was the award show presence. It was Shallow. It was I'm in the Deep End. Which has been unavoidable. And if there was one third thing that to me was just like, that's 2018 in culture, I have to say, it's a young lady from the Bronx on Instagram showing everybody how you be a lady in Congress.
You mean on Twitter? Or Insta?
You said Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually don't follow her on Instagram.
Oh, it's so good. Like,
really?
It's, yes.
Oh, no. I'm just aware of the Twitter presence.
Oh, no. The Insta is like, her Insta stories about like, this is congressional training were amazing.
When does she
Winter, what do you think says what is your nominee for or nominees for the Tarte d'Or?
I'm gonna give it to Netflix.
Okay.
I think Netflix has done tremendous work. Mm-hmm. I always predicted that Netflix was going to end up being the king of the studio system that's unfolding and is corrupted, and I'm actually really happy for them. I don't know where their money comes from, but good for them.
Karen, what about you? What's your nominee for Tarte d'Or?
I've isolated it to one moment. You've sort of briefly mentioned it already, Guy, and it is that moment of shallow in A Star Is Born. But I want to say something very specific about it, because it's not, you know, Bradley Cooper starting off, but it is Lady Gaga when she comes in with that first verse, and she over enunciates every word in this particular way, like, or when she starts into the chorus, I'm falling. I'm falling. In all the good times, I find myself longing. You know, where she hits the total, you know, the diphthongs and that gerund at the end. The reason I love it so much is I realized that it's a moment of pure, unadulterated, dorky-ass musical theater. It's your fucking Broadway wannabe. But it is swaddled in the beautiful magic of cinema and the cool aura of rock and roll. And I think that it spoke to me for that reason. It's because it, you know, and this is what A Star Is Born always speaks to, is to that kid who is aspiring from nowhere, who's not that pretty, who's not that, you know, attractive, who people say won't ever make it, but then who has the occasion to bring their talents to a stage and just blow the water out of it.
Karen, are you saying that there could be 100 people in a room and 99 of them don't believe in you?
Bradley Cooper, he did. And you know what? I know that that is a tired-ass trope, but like Gaga, I totally felt that. And it may reveal the deep, or not so deep, basic-ass, the shallow basic-ass bish in me, the twink slash twunk in me. But that, to me, that moment where she does that in Shallow is the most profound thing that happened in 2018. I know... Hey, academics, don't get mad at me. But that's my feeling, and I'm going to go with it.
Karen, I've just seen you as a twunk, and I can never lose
it. I am a twunk, for real.
Margaret, what about you? What's your nominee for Tarte d'Or?
Mine is Nice Reality TV.
Okay.
The whole trend of it. Basically, I just wrote this piece for Washington Post, and it's coming out tomorrow, and I'm really excited about it. And I made this whole argument in the piece about Nice Reality TV taking over and becoming the dominant thread in all of reality TV. Basically, shows like Great British Baking Show, Queer Eye, Making It, pretty much all of HGTV.
Even Nailed It, with its little edge of you were bad at it, is loving you for it, and everybody's loving themselves for it.
Exactly. Marie Kondo, all of these shows that are just taking like a really soft, positive approach to competition, or just like getting your life in order, making a great dessert, the wonders of beard oil, you know, all of these things that basically make up our like daily lives, but we, and you know, I think there's been like those happiness studies that are always like happiness is all really about the little things. Like it's not necessarily about having like the money and the cars and the wife and the so forth. It's just like, do you get to have a good meal every day? Do you get to lie down in a, you know, comfortable bed? Anyway, like I just think that that is the trend that has been happening in the last year or two. I mean, it's been building for a long time, but I feel like it really crested in 2018, where that is where everyone went to escape all of these fractious, dark political moments that are going on, you know, with all the like warring factions and all of the strife and Trump and all the things he's always screaming and yelling. It's like everyone just needed to retreat into
Twitter
this
Twitter every day.
Yeah, Twitter every day. Like everyone needed to retreat into this just like nice, soft, comfy, cozy world.
These are very, very strong nominees. I think they're are really good arguments to be made for all of them. I mean, Netflix has become such a ubiquitous presence. The fact that this year they came out with the rom-coms and the sort of like niche horrors and we're saying nobody
and
makes...
Roma and basically
I mean,
you know, big up budget, a bunch of awards
the big budget like vehicles for stars like Sandy Bullock, that kind of thing. And also Netflix is the home for much of that comfort TV
Absolutely.
That you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Netflix is a really, really strong behemoth of a contender, even one day at a time, like the comfort television I was talking about.
We think
Claire
about all the
Foy.
Shit that we've been talking about all night, all the things that have won. I mean, I think that just as an awards behemoth, it would be like a true acknowledgement to give it to something like Netflix.
All right, you guys, do we have a four-way consensus here?
I can sit behind that. I can stand behind it.
All right. Congratulations, Netflix. I sincerely hope that this is on all of your press releases very soon. Let's do a press release for this.
Yes,
Netflix know that they are the recipient of the 2018 Tarte d'Or, the single highest honor bequeathed by our podcast.
You mean bequeathed?
Hulu, I just want to say, try harder next time. You did have a better Firefest documentary.
You did.
It's true. Yeah, they did.
I sincerely hope that Netflix sends a representative to accept this award. Possibly Sandra Bullock. maybe Rita Moreno. Who knows?
But that would be exciting.
Previous recipients of Pop Rocket Awards have actually officially accepted their award. Winter, you actually ran into Terry Crews, recipient of the second Pop Rocket Seal of Approval.
Breaking news. I ran into Terry Crews over Grammy weekend, and he had this to say about being awarded the Pop Rocket Seal of Approval.
Hey, this is Terry Crews. I won the Pop Rocket Seal of Approval. I'm so happy. I'm popping my pecs right now. Oh my God. Ooh, 99.
Woo! Popping pecs for Pop Rocket.
That's really thrilling.
I love it. I love it so much. I can tell you didn't fake that. It really does sound like Terry Crews.
He really was authentic and felt that.
Nice.
You've been listening to Pop Rocket, hosted by me, Guy Branum, with Winter Mitchell Rohrbaugh, Margaret Wappler, and Karen Tongson. Our theme music is Party Booby Trap by Ozzy Mizo. Thanks to him for letting us use it. If you haven't already, please review us on Apple Podcasts and give us 5 stars. It's our favorite number. This week, we would like to thank A Pop-Tart for Lauren. Again, I think it's a great name. If you're looking for a podcast where you can find real but not pessimistic conversations about the state of journalism in America, recommendations for strategy games about the Electoral College, behind-the-scenes looks at digital strategy, casual nods to English common law, in-depth analysis of the latest Twitter beefs, and academic exploration of the latest pop bobbles, this is it. It is a real-time deconstruction of high and low culture distinctions. It makes me laugh while making me question my assumptions. It's the best of the best. God save Margaret Wappler.
Thank you.
God save Margaret Wappler indeed. Lauren, you are definitely leading this. Swisher wrote this. Laura Swisher wrote this. Lauren, you are definitely leading candidate for the 2020 Pop-Tart Award for the best name. I think she should have been in consideration for 2018. Also, 2020 is next year. Lauren, I need to fight. Cinepunk said, no other podcast manages both the depth of analysis and entertaining and witty conversation that Pop Rocket does. This panel is magic, and even when I disagree with them, I find it's totally helpful and interesting to listen to. Get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Pop Rocket. Follow us on Instagram at Pop Rocket Podcast, or join our Facebook group and be part of the discussion. And if you want us to hear your feedback or even ask a panelist for advice, you can call 530-237-4108. And Margaret, please try crystals. Please dial 530-237-4108. We want to hear your acceptance speech.
I'll give you 5 minutes, Crystal.
Same for all the winners tonight, by
yeah,
the
same
way.
For all of the winners tonight. Olivia Colman, Netflix.
Carrie Russell.
Tully.
We're a production of MaximumFun.org. Our senior producer is Laura Swisher, who's now my enemy.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.